Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as our special guest as we enter into another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. It's always our desire to see you call in and participate, be involved in the broadcast each day, the dialogue and discussion that we're speaking about, and I invite you to do that today. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. And I do that at the early portion of the broadcast, lest I forget to remind you. So jot the number down. Keep it handy. That's 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion together on the issue. We're going to be talking about today war, the war against God, the war against God. We see that taking place and being played out across America today as never before in the history of the United States of America. For over 240 years now, we have been a nation that we can sing proudly as we sing our wonderful songs, in particular at Memorial Day and at July the 4th, Independence Day. We can sing our wonderful praises for America, the land of the free and the home of the brave, and that's what we ought to do. But we're watching some of those freedoms being absolutely undermined, eviscerated, destroyed as a result of some of the tyrant to wannabe dictator governors and mayors across America. So we're talking about what they're doing and what's happening in America with the war against God. We see it being fought out against pastors and churches, but it is literally a war against God. And we're watching that take place today. We recognize the scripture tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and wickedness in high places. And that's talking about the demonic activity. And what we see today taking place is a demonic activity that's a war against God being played out in the hearts and the lives of humanity. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of scripture. It is the truth book. The truth book from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation. It's not a book where you can occasionally find truth. You can go and find little nuggets. It is a book of truth. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. Jesus says to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then Jesus identifies that truth when he said in John 14:6, I am truth. And then for a further elaboration on that, Jesus in John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. And so it's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God that is truth. And I commend that to you today, is to turn to the truth book and see what God's word says in relationship to any issue that you might be faced with in life. It was George Orwell a number of years ago made this statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We see that taking place today on just about every level of society, especially in our mayors and governors when we're in a shutdown condition, destroying our economy, destroying our future as a nation, and they are doing that, weaponizing the coronavirus in order to try to destroy the potentiality of President Donald J. Trump's reelection. That's the bottom line. That's the end result. That's where all of this focuses on, and we need to understand that. But I'd go back to what a 15th century church theologian and church reformer said in the 15th century was Jan Hus. Jan Hus said, and may I quote Jan Hus, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, love the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And so I call on you, ladies and gentlemen, as Christians to defend the truth. And if we're going to defend the truth, we can't believe a devil's lie. If we're going to defend the truth, we can't have partial truth and partial lie. If we're going to defend the truth, we need to go to the root source and find out what is truth. Most today, if I can be bold enough to say this, ladies and gentlemen, most people in America today have believed a demonic lie. Yes, the coronavirus is wicked and evil. Yes, the coronavirus is deadly. But we are discovering, as time goes by, it's just as Dr. Anthony Fauci said in his American Medical Association article that he had written February the 26th, when he said this virus will be no more than the common, average, normal, annual flu. And 9 days later, he changed his position and took the position based on the Professor Ferguson out of the UK and his faulty data. Dr. Fauci took that as fact. The WHO, the World Health Organization, with Dr. Tedros took it as fact. Dr. Birx took it as fact. And they said, whispering in the president's ear, 2.2 million people are going to die if we do nothing about it. So that triggered the total lockdown in America today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about the end result as affects the church. We're going to talk about how this lockdown and what is taking place against the church really is a war against God. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for homeowners with the Honda and Echo brands. They also carry the hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Find the gigantic American flag flowing 24/7. Flag is about 165 foot in the air. Find that flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, lest I forget it, let me remind you, First Conservative Baptist Church is open, has not been closed. We're open for ministry. Our services are Sunday morning, 9:30 for the Bible study, for every age group, 10:45 morning services, worship service, and 7 p.m. for worship service. And then at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening for our Bible study, fellowship meal, and question and answer on biblical truth. So let me invite you to come to one of those services, or all of them. If you're looking for a church home, or if you're looking for a church that's open, we'd be delighted to welcome you. You'd be surprised how many folks we've had to come say they're looking for churches that are open for ministry, looking for a church where have not closed the doors so that the gospel can go forth. Well, we're the church. We're here. We're located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. The doors are open. Worship is available. We invite you to come worship with us. Be delighted to have you. Of course, now, if you're concerned about the coronavirus, wear your mask. That's all right. If you're concerned about whether someone might cough on you or sneeze on you and you're squeamish about that, stay at home. But if you want to come worship and sing praises to the Lord, hear the gospel proclaimed, I'll be in Revelation, the 8th chapter, Sunday morning. We're preaching through the book of the Revelation. I'll be in chapter 8 Sunday morning. In chapter 8, you find the 7th seal that is open. And when that 7th seal is open, you find the major, massive, catastrophic events that's taking place during the days of the tribulation. If you want to understand the book of the Revelation, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, we'd be delighted to have you in our worship services Sunday morning at 10:45, Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. So let me invite you to be a part of that time of worship. And we still stick to the old songs of the songs of old. We don't do the rock and roll, the 7-Eleven, or the 11:49 music, where there's more banging of the drums than you hear of the words of praise to the Lord Jesus. So if you're looking for what I simply call the old-fashioned gospel, the old-fashioned gospel songs where it's relevant to man today and where we can find truth in the Word of God and have something that will give us strength and wisdom during the week to serve the Lord, we'd love to have you. Be a delight to meet you. We've met you on there. We'd like to meet you in person. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to tell you that President Trump, and I'm looking at an article, I'm delighted to tell you that President Trump just made a public announcement. You may have seen it. You may not have. You may have just swept it by. But President Trump said, I want to get our churches open. I want to get our churches open. On Thursday, May 21st, President Donald Trump told reporters that he will be taking initiatives to open America's churches again. One of the things that I want to do is to get our churches open, he said. The churches are not being treated with respect by a lot of Democrat governors. I want to get our churches open, and we're going to take a very strong position on that very soon. Further in the article, it says, President Trump's words come one day after the First Pentecostal Church in Holly Springs, Mississippi, was burned to the ground by vandals who opposed the church's open services. The horrific assault on religious exercise exposed how volatile safety in America can be when false narratives take precedence over the truth. And that's exactly what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm thankful that the president has made that statement. But the question begs to be asked, ladies and gentlemen, and begs to be answered. How, and just why, and on what constitutional basis were our churches ordered to close in the first place? What promulgated that? Where was the official authorization for our churches to be ordered closed in America? May I just say, I can't leave it off. I must say this. On what basis do we find? What is the premise from any pastor, any preacher, any Christian across America that will believe that somehow, some way, that we have a Bill of Rights, and the Bill of Rights, it is nullified, it is some way eviscerated, it is some way counterbanded because of a virus? Our Bill of Rights in the First Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, says Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or the prohibiting of the free exercise thereof. So where does it say in that, except for a virus or except for a crisis, that we have our Bill of Rights, except for a certain circumstance? It doesn't say that, ladies and gentlemen. That's not what you find in it at all. And if it sounds like I'm passionate about that, it is because I am. We're watching the curtailment, the foreshadowing of that which shall take place if Christians and pastors do not grow a spine and take a stand and say, we will not be forced to the back seat of the bus. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that there is a time that we as Christians realize that we need to take a stand for the truth that's once delivered to the saints and take a stand in the proclamation of that without fear. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, we find that this that is taking place in America today is so horrific that it reminds me of what's happening in China. You see, ladies and gentlemen, in China, there's a hatred for God, and that hatred for God in China, we've talked about for years. American Christians have talked about it. Pastors have preached about it. We have whole journals and articles and news magazines that go out in relationship to talking about the persecution of the Christians in all parts of the world, North Korea and Venezuela and all of the places on the continents around the world where Jesus Christ is not proclaimed, where churches are not free to open, where churches are persecuted, Christians are put in jail, put in re-educational camps, and persecuted and prosecuted. Ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what you see taking place across the nation today. Churches are required in China. Churches are required to get governmental approval. Churches must use and preach the communist propaganda, or they're closed. Churches that refuse to bow and close the doors are bulldozed over. Listen, Google it if it's not been sequestered by Google. Look at what is taking place in China today. Churches are being bulldozed over. The remains are being burned to ashes. Bibles and hymn books and prayer books are absolutely being confiscated and burned by the stack in China today. In China, hundreds of those that are Christians, hundreds of thousands of Christians are in the re-educational camps, locked down, and are just simply disappear off the globe by the police authorities because they refuse to bow to the demands of Chinese government. The faithful pastors and members that refuse to comply with the government then are considered lawbreakers. Sounds a lot like what's taking place in churches in America today. Let me just read you several blurbs from about a 6 or 8 page article entitled, As China Cracks Down on Churches, Christians Declare. Listen to what Christians say in China. We will not forfeit our faith. That's their mantra. That's their position. This article says, for months, Pastor Gu, that's pronounced Gu, G-U, had been looking forward to the brightness of the Christmas celebration at one of China's best-known Protestant churches. He loved decorating trees. He loved singing songs like Silent Night. and watching the annual Christmas pageant, recounting the birth of the Lord Jesus. But in early December, the police shut down Pastor Goose's usual place of worship, the Early Rise Covenant Church in the Southwest City, as a part of the activists say it's the most severe crackdown on Christianity in more than a decade. The police confiscated Bibles, shuttered a school and a seminary run by the well-known church, and detained Early Rain's outspoken pastor on charges of inciting subdivision. That's their term. Punishable in serious cases by at least 5 years in prison. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm setting the stage of this war on God, the war against God. It's global, but we're seeing it being promulgated in America today on the premise that we got to protect you from the coronavirus. This article says the pastor then made the statement, "We will not forfeit our faith because of suppression by the authorities," the pastor said. Further, the article says the Chinese authorities shuttered his church near the city in central China. And this year, as part of the broad campaign against the independent churches in all of China, the government has focused its campaign on unofficial churches. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I want this to sink in. In China, that which is called the unofficial churches are the churches that are the legitimate, God-fearing, God-honoring, Bible-preaching churches in China. They're, for the most part, house churches. They're, for the most part, underground. These are the churches that have not gotten state approval. The state-approved churches are simply a showcase for the world to think that somehow, some way, China says it's okay to worship God. That's not the case. This article further says the police this month shut down the 40-year-old a church in southern Chinese city, which attracted thousands of worshipers. And in September, the authorities in Beijing ordered the closing of a 1,500-member church, the Zion Church, one of the largest unofficial churches in the capital. Quote, the government requires religious groups to register, though many will worship in unofficial churches, sometimes called the unofficial underground churches or the house churches. But the government's heavy-handed efforts to obliterate several high-profile churches have been met with resistance among Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, this is happening in China today. Yet in America, our churches simply bow when the government says close. They bow, close the doors, and I think throw the keys away. Recently talking with an individual, he said that his church, this is not in this state, but his church, we're simply discussing, when do we open back up? And the primary resounding response from the group of men in the church, well, I reckon we've got to wait until the government says it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's happening in China today. This article says, a teacher in China who has been part of the Early Rain Church since 2011 said that the church members had been asked by the authorities to sign letters stating that they will no longer believe in Christianity. He said the Early Rain Church had no choice but to continue to exist in secrecy. We have moved underground, he said. This major article has pictures of what is taking place, and it says members have continued to hold Sunday services, sometimes on the banks of the nearby river, where the church headquarters formerly were standing in the downtown distant view. The communist regime persecution of the church is extremely a vicious crime, he wrote. As a pastor of the Christian church, I must strictly and publicly condemn the crimes in China. This article further states, if you see the police, this is the preacher telling his members, if you see the police, national security, or community workers, greet them with gentleness, he told the congregation. Quote, if they try to grab the microphone, I ask the brothers sitting in the front row to please stop them. I like that. He's saying, greet them with kindness, but if they try to stop us, you respond accordingly. Then at the time of the Christmas services that they were hoping to have, he said, while he did not explicitly mention Early Rain, the pastor asked those in attendance to remember those who are criminally detained, ladies and gentlemen. Then he began a sermon about the meaning of Christmas and the sacrifice of Jesus. This article says officials in the United States have denounced the Chinese government's efforts to limit the spread of Christianity. My commentary on that, ladies and gentlemen, yet government in America is now closing churches, prosecuting preachers, fining churches and pastors, handcuffing a pastor and putting him in jail, fining them $500 per service, as one church up in Massachusetts. Another church, another pastor has gotten 25 tickets for doing so. The pastor of this church turned to his Bible in recent days for support, the article says. Sometimes he recites a verse from the book of Proverbs, where the scripture says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till full daylight comes." Ladies and gentlemen, this article talks about pastor charged with inciting subdivision as China cracks down on churches. Another article, Chinese police dynamite a Christian megachurch. Another article, Chinese city bans Christians' display of all religious images, etc., and cracks down on the churches. Ladies and gentlemen, I read the article with great sadness because we see this taking place in America today. We see the very thing that we've talked about for years that we're against as Christians. And yet we're bowing and bending to that very thing. Sounds a lot like what we're seeing today. Let me just give you an overview briefly in the wrap-up of the monologue. And then I'm going to introduce to you our special guest today. We're going to talk about this and what we need to do as Christians. And the admonition for us to stand up, and to be seen and be heard as Christians. Today we're seeing churches ordered to close. Ladies and gentlemen, this is against our Bill of Rights, the fundamental freedom that we fought for, that men of renown gave their lives for. We'll be celebrating Memorial Day. Memorial Day, we're looking back to the men in uniform that surrendered their lives, that paid the ultimate price, that we can have the freedom today. And yet pastors, churches, Christians, are simply surrendering our freedom and our liberties. Churches are threatened and ticketed and fined and intimidated. Here's an article that says, Chicago fines churches for holding services in violation of statewide lockdown orders. Governor J.B. Pritzker, statewide shutdown order, with Chicago Police Department telling Fox News that three churches will be hit with penalties for serving and services that were held without authorization. Philadelphia Romanian Church had congregants meet 13 requirements to attend, including having no coronavirus symptoms and being younger than 65 years of age. And they were fined a citation of $500 by the Chicago police simply for having worship services without authorization. Ladies and gentlemen, we see pastors are arrested, put in jail. Every parking lot worship service, even parking lot worship services, are considered illegal. One church had their service interrupted by police officers on two occasions and walked into a worship service, ticketed them, and ordered them to cease and desist. Ladies and gentlemen, if that doesn't bother you, there's something wrong. If that doesn't cause you to be concerned, there's a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that we have with us today. We're going to continue this dialogue and discussion. Glad to have us with us today, a pastor that I've come to love as a brother in Christ, Pastor Glenn Davis from up in Folkestone, Georgia. Pastor Davis, you've heard the monologue. You've heard the brief statements in relationship to what's happening. Tell us what you see and from the monologue, what you have gained and gathered. And what are you seeing? What are you witnessing in your part of the world in relationship to churches and pastors and what's happening? And just talk with us about that.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord, Dr. Youngblood. First, I do thank the Lord for being here on today. I give honor to my wife and pastor back in Folkestone, Georgia, whosoever will let them come. Outreach Ministries, Pastor Ruby Davis, and all of my friends and everyone else that's tuned in to the broadcast on today. And I thank God for you, Dr. Youngblood, a man that has a heart of gold, I can see, you know, all the markings of a great Christian, the heart of God, the compassion that you have for the church. And we all should have that same compassion on the day. And it really saddens my heart as I sit back and I see the different things that's coming out in the news concerning things that seem like shouldn't be, especially when it comes down to things that pertain to the church. Now, two of the greatest things that I found out through my years of ministry in the church that has been two of the greatest enemies, should I say, that the church is facing besides the devil. We know that he's the greatest.
That's right.
But then we look at a compromise and we look at contentment. Those two things can be great enemies to the church. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I say that is because sometimes we see things happening, just like we see in the news right now, how they are telling, it seems like the government and other officials are stepping in and they're trying to make rules for the church to go by, when we really don't need rules coming from anyone outside of the church,
right.
Because God has given us everything that we need that pertains
Amen.
Unto life and godliness.
That's right.
If we just listen to the voice of God, when we read his word,
yes.
This is what I found out. If you read the Bible will also read you.
That's right.
And if you obey what you're reading, then the book of 1 Timothy tells us that the law wasn't made for a righteous man, because a righteous man is the law within himself.
Right.
In other words, he will keep himself. He will abide by the principles of the law at no matter what cost, even if it costs him his life.
Right.
And this is what I think churches should be doing on today. We've got to take a firm stance. We're not saying get out there and picket, you know, start a riot or anything like that.
No.
Walk around and protest. We're not inciting anybody towards disobedience when it comes down to as far as things like violence.
That's right.
But there comes a time when we have to stand up for what we know
Amen.
Is right.
That's right.
There is a thing that's called civil disobedience.
Right.
That's disobedience under control.
Right.
You see, God will control us no matter what situation we're facing
Amen.
Right now on today, because the word of God let us know that the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost, he is a perfect gentleman. He doesn't force himself down upon anyone. He is there to help us to keep control and composure of ourselves at all times.
Amen.
He's going to keep us walking within the confinements of the word of God. So I say that to say this, when we look at the word of God, and we see the things that are being said about how we should conduct things pertaining to the church, and it doesn't line up with the word of God, then we are under no obligation to have to obey that, because first we should be obeying God rather than men. And I think we will find that also written in the book of Acts, where Peter, when they put him in jail and told him, we told you not to preach in that name.
Mm-hmm.
When they let him back out, Peter went back out and he started preaching again.
Mm-hmm.
They locked him back up.
If it had been in 21st century America, he'd be hiding under the bed or in the closet, wouldn't he?
Amen, amen, amen. But as soon as he got back out, they questioned him again. And Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men.
Amen.
And that should be our stance on today.
It should be, absolutely.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the war against God. That's what we see taking place. This is Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're talking with Pastor Glenn Davis from up in Folkestone, Georgia today. And we're looking forward to the balance of this broadcast as we get deeper into what is taking place, what should we do, how should we respond, and why should we allow the churches to remain shut down across America? Why should pastors have to grovel and churches have to beg the government, please let us worship, please let us obey God, please let us go back to preaching the Word of God? We're going to look at, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that all these socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats for years have said there's a separation of church and state when they didn't want the church to involve in political affairs, but now they're involving themselves in the affairs of the church. And there is in the Scripture, and we'll look at it after the top of the hour news, there is in the Scripture a separation of church and state where King Uzziah went into the church and he should not have. God killed him. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break at the top of the hour for 1 minute for the news. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We'll be right back. Let's Face the Issues.